Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get a motion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Live from downtown San Francisco, this is 95.7 The Game.
All right, what is going on, everyone? Evan Giddings alongside Mark Grandy, live here from Freedman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill for the once yearly Red Tag clearance sale all the way through the weekend. We are locked and loaded from 12 to 3. We got people coming through. We got live vignettes. We got tacos with steak. We got nachos. We got French toast, which Mark Grandy has pounded about pound of by the time that we have gotten to air. But we are ready to go to talk some dubs, Mark. First and foremost, dude, how are you feeling about this place? This place is awesome.
This place is incredible. I don't know about you. I've never been to the Freedman's Appliance here in Pleasant Hill. So getting in here about an hour ago, walking around, getting our setup done, I wanted to take my time walking through all the live working vignettes, trying all the food. We got a couple of samples here. They're incredible. I am shocked at how awesome this place is. So all I got to say is if you haven't been here yet or you haven't been here in a while, I would stop by. You can say what's up to us. We'd love to see you. But more importantly, you got crazy deals. It's their once yearly Red Tag sales event. Yep. And you've got a number of great samplers, tons of great food. There's some pizza, a really good pesto pizza that I tried. So stop by. It's awesome.
Yeah, good vibes, good people. Again, we'll be here until 3 o'clock. So if you're at home, get on over to Pleasant Hill. Come by, say what's up. We might have a cameo appearance. I was told we'll definitely be talking to a special guest at 2 o'clock. Oh. And then someone from Freedman's Appliance by the name of Mr. Poet. I might be sipping Moet by the end of this show. But Mr. Poet is going to be coming by to tell us all about the great deals they got at Freedman's Appliance. We basically are part of the live vignette, Mark. We are a radio show live vignette at this point.
Yeah, you walk straight into the door, you turn to the right, you'll see us. You can't miss us. We're maybe the least impressive live working vignette here, but we are one of them.
Oh, what are you talking about? We're on top. And especially, it looks like it's clearing up, too. I know it was a little rainy earlier, kind of wet as we were coming in. Got here about 10:30. Our guy Justin Beltre getting us set up here, doing a fantastic job behind the scenes. A little wet this morning, but it's starting to clear up, starting to get light, starting to get bright. Unlike the Golden State Warriors, Mark, who unfortunately fell last night to Indiana, 123-111, a 1-2 homestand for the Dubs, and you were on pre and post last night, and I thought you had a really interesting kind of thought in comparison between where the Warriors are at as well as where the Indiana Pacers are at this point, which is, you know, kind of looking at the direction they're going, the direction the Warriors are going. People are trying to figure out right now as they stand 36-33, the 10th seed in the West, 4 games back of Sacramento for 8th, a game and a half back of Los Angeles, who also won last night, now in 9th place, and just 2 games up on the streak, and apparently Houston Rockets. I'm not saying we have a problem yet, but the Golden State Warriors are in a very delicate situation, and it's all off the loss last night against Indiana.
Last night was kind of a double whammy for the Warriors because you lost a game in which you had a 12-point lead in the first half. Things were looking good. You led 60-48 with 6 minutes to go in the second quarter, and then the Pacers dominate the rest of the game.
Yep.
They win by 12, so they turn around a 12-point deficit. They outscore you by 24 the final 2.5 quarters of the game. Tyrese Halliburton hits a couple of threes to beat the buzzers of the second and third quarter. Those are just gut punches, and they change the momentum. That was a big part of it. The Warriors trade deadline target, reportedly, Pascal Siakam. He was incredible in that game. He had 16 rebounds. And then Miles Turner blocked five shots and had a double-double with 14 points and 10 rebounds. He really shut down the Warriors in the paint offense, which during their streak when they were playing their best basketball, when they had won, what was it, like 13 of 17 games or whatever it was, they were dominating teams in the paint and, you know, hitting timely threes, and Steph was getting going, and Clay was hitting some shots, but it was Kuminga getting to the paint. It was Andrew Wiggins getting to the paint. Miles Turner shut that down yesterday. So you have that loss. You pair it with, as you mentioned, the Lakers come from behind win over the 76ers. Suddenly, you are nearly the same distance away from the Lakers as the Rockets are from you. You're a game and a half behind the Lakers and only two ahead of the Rockets. Now, the good news, if you are the Warriors, is you have the tiebreaker over Houston. You've played them twice. You've won both. You only have one more game against them. So you got two games advantage over the Houston Rockets. You got the tiebreaker, so essentially you got three games there. So you still feel relatively safe, but considering what we were thinking like 2 weeks ago, Evan, when we thought the 10 seed was the absolute worst-case scenario, now there's a real possibility that you could be slipping out of the play-in game entirely.
No, exactly. And look, we got people coming up talking to us. It'll happen all throughout the day. Feel free to drop by Freedman's Appliance from 12 to 3 for their once-yearly Red Tag clearance sale. And you're right. Look, the play-in tournament is a place where the Warriors right now are pretty much cemented in my mind. And I thought that last Saturday, a week from today in Los Angeles, was kind of a play-in preview, so to speak, of the 10 and the 9. And the question at this point is, can you at least go on a little bit of a run to position yourself to have a home game in my mind? Catching Sacramento at this point, I think, is out of the question.
Yes.
I think getting caught by Houston, however, is still within question, which would be the worst-case scenario for the ending of this season. But it's interesting. You bring up Indiana, and that's certainly a loss that I think highlighted a couple things to me, which was the fact that Tyrese Haliburton, who's a budding star, and even Pascal Siakam, like you mentioned, was a trade target for them and got brought over. Those two players outplayed the Warriors kind of at those positions, in my mind, being Steph Curry and Draymond Green. That doesn't mean that they're better players overall, but their stock is going up. Meanwhile, the Warriors' stock is coming down. But overall this week, kind of the loss in my mind that was most glaring was against New York on Monday, because in similar fashion to the Pacers, I thought that was a game in which the Warriors just simply got outworked. They got outplayed. And it's evident by two players that played basically the entirety of the game, being Josh Hart and then random Miles McBride. So
career night, Miles McBride.
Exactly. He goes for 26, and the Knicks down three starters, come into Chase Center and grab a victory after a momentum-building win, or so you thought, against Los Angeles. The Warriors have been extremely inconsistent over their last 10 games, as evident by 4-6. You missed Steph in two of those games, but still, the Warriors right now, I think, are still battling internally with what their identity is, not just this season, but it appears to be moving forward too, because the optimism for them going on a title run is basically down to zero for many people, except for perhaps those that are in the inside the organization. But I think anyone realistically looking at this Warriors team has been in an introspective place now for a couple of weeks, and that to me is what I feel like we got relegated to with one win in three games at home. Of course, looking ahead to the teams like Minnesota, Miami, Orlando, all three of which are playing very good basketball right now, there's a daunting five-game road trip coming up, and although they played better on the road, it just stands right now, the question is, why can't they win at home? They're sub 500, and that to me, Mark, is not the mark of a great basketball team.
Absolutely not. And you ask anyone in the organization about their struggling home record, and they all will just, you know, give you palms up. They don't really know. They can't really explain it. And I mean, they're right. I don't know how to explain it. This team was elite at home last year.
Yeah.
They were terrible on the road. They won 11 games all last season on the road. Now they're four games over 500 on the road. They're probably going to win 20-plus games, if not more, on the road this year. They still have nine road games left. They've already won 18. They're probably going to win maybe somewhere around 22, 23 road games this year.
They could double their road victory total from last season.
But now they are a really, really below-average home team. I mean, you look at home records around the NBA. And let's just focus on the Western Conference. The only two teams, pardon me, the only three teams that have a worse home record than the Golden State Warriors this year, the Grizzlies, the Trailblazers, and the Spurs. Those three teams have 24, 19, and 15 wins. They're the three worst teams in the Western Conference.
They're all eliminated from the playoffs.
Those are the only three teams that have a worse home record than you do. An 18 and 19 home record being sub 500 or right around 500, Evan, generally that means you're not a playoff team. And that's simply probably the unfortunate truth for this Warriors team. They're just not a playoff team this year.
888-957-9570 is the number. Evan Giddings, Mark Grandy, live from Friedman's Appliance out here in Pleasant Hill. Stop by for the once-yearly Red Tag clearance sale from 12 to 3. And all the way through the weekend, we are going to be out here schmoozing. After the show, maybe a little bit of boozing. Who's to say? But, Mark, the fact that I think the question that I want to start with is what people learned this week. And whether it was something that was new, whether it was something that was old and has just been kind of reiterated, I do wonder how much the 19 games prior to this last stretch in which they went 14-5, in which they were one of the best, if not the best, basketball teams in the month of February has been almost subdued and kind of thrown out of our minds because of how the month of March has been, which is largely like the first 3 months of the season have gone, which is sub 500 or 500 basketball. So to me, looking at the 14-5 stretch in February, in which they looked like a team that was restored, renewed, galvanized, however you want to put it, not to say it was a flash in the pan, I do think that they can play and string together a great month of basketball like they did, but it comes at a cost when your best players are in their mid to late 30s, combined with your other best players being in year three or below. So the lack of consistency for me is really where the Warriors have struggled, and is evident by New York, Memphis, and then Indiana. They looked amazing against the Grizzlies, a team that they should have beaten. I'm just going to go ahead and call them the Memphis Hustle at this point because that's what they looked like, a G League team. But that's a game in which your young guys were able to get up and down. Your older players were able to summon enough to kick their ass in the second half. But then against the two teams that have hard workers that do play consistent basketball, you got to give New York credit, even though they were down three starters. Indiana is a consistent basketball team as far as what to expect from their talent on a given night. The Warriors struggled, and that to me has been the most glaring part about the month of March, their inconsistency compared to what we saw in February.
Yeah, and something that stood out to me specifically last night was the Warriors' relative sluggishness might be the right word. Maybe, as you're saying, maybe lack of hustle or inconsistent. They'll give you a good stretch for 6 minutes, and then the next 10 minutes are a big issue. I mean, that's what the end of the second quarter was into the entire second half last night. But if we're focusing on like individual characteristics of teams, what stood out to me, this Pacers team is just quicker, faster, more athletic. They get up and down the floor. They run you rampant. And the Warriors, while they have a couple of those guys, like you got Jonathan Kuminga, who will beat players down the floor. Trayce Jackson-Davis, while he isn't necessarily the most athletically gifted, he doesn't have the longest strides. He doesn't sprint like a polished sprinter. Like he kind of has an awkward gait, but he gets up and down and he hustles and he beats guys down the floor all the time. But there's too much inconsistency within the roster for the Warriors. Like there was a moment last night in the fourth quarter, again, where the Warriors were down by 17 at one point, and they claw back. They put together like 4 or 5 good minutes of basketball. They're back within 7 with around 3 minutes to go. Klay Thompson, who had hit a couple of the shots, overall not his best shooting night, but he had hit a couple in the fourth. He dribbles into a pull-up jump around the free throw line. The ball either squirts away or it got poked away, bounces off the backboard. And he's there arguing with the ref, trying to get a call. And Steph Curry is kind of halfway jogging back on defense. And Nembhard, their second-year guard out of Gonzaga, who killed the Warriors in Chase Center last year, if you remember, he beats everyone down the floor. An easy layup leads back to 9. Momentum zapped. And it's a case where it's those veterans. It's Klay not getting back. It's Steph not sprinting all the way back. And I know he's 36 years old. Like, this isn't a referendum on Steph. I'm not saying that. But you're right.
No, it is.
There is inconsistency on this roster in terms of 24/7 balls to the wall, 110% every single play, and that was on display against a team like Indiana last night, who's got those young guards, those young wings, who will beat you down the floor. Same thing with the Knicks. Jalen Brunson plays so hard. Josh Hart, who doesn't sit on the bench for a second during games, he was beating you up and down the floor despite playing every single second of this game. Maybe this is more a referendum on the roster and the age and the veterans more so than anything else, but a fact of this Warriors team is they just don't consistently certainly have the energy and the necessary effort to beat some of these younger, quicker, more athletic teams anymore.
I don't think it's a lack of effort, because that implies they're not trying. I just don't – look, they don't got it. Like, they don't got it each and every night to beat a team like Indiana consistently, to beat a team that's got some guys in their prime, that's got some guys that are up and coming. And that play you're talking about, no, that is a little bit of a referendum on Steph. It's not like he doesn't want to get back in transition. What I saw was a guy whose body would not let him beat in a sprint, Andrew Nembhard, down the floor. Now, that's not something that you're going to expect each and every time, but combined with the instances throughout the game, I think it's also an indication of how tired Curry was. He played 35 minutes last night. That, to me, is a workload that might be too much for him on a game-by-game basis. He's played into the 60s as far as game totals this year. I think he's looked tired in fourth quarters, not just last night, but throughout the season. And that's one of the reasons why we saw him go. I think it's indicative, and not to just focus on Steph, but look, 1 of 7 in the fourth quarter, but you look at the three-point totals. He took 18 threes last night, 6 of which in the fourth quarter. That, to me, is a guy that is searching for the jump shot. And the Warriors have done this. It's not just Steph. The Warriors have done this throughout this year. They have, in the fourth quarter of games, I thought, relied too heavily on perimeter looks, whether it's against a team like Indiana and Miles Turner that's blocking shots, or teams sometimes like the Detroit Pistons that they had to put away earlier this year by 3 points, who don't have very good shot blockers but are young and athletic and long. I think that Curry, along with Klay, in a lot of instances in fourth quarters, are looking for the J to bail them out. And they just don't have the legs like they used to, and they shouldn't. But that's an issue when you're going to play against a team that's got a Nembhard who's, I mean, right now 24 years old. Tyrese Halliburton's in his early 20s. Those guys are going to be fresh in fourth quarters of basketball games, whereas the Warriors' young guys, I don't know, are ready yet. Like a game like last night, Kuminga to me was inconsistent. He was up and down, didn't play particularly well. He did rebound, but you know, 4 of 17 from the floor means that the shot wasn't falling for him, and I thought he also had some issues around the rim, and Turner's a big part of that. But those spots down the stretch of basketball games are where we're starting to see the young guys needing to take the reins a little more from the old guys, just because I'm not sure after playing a heavy workload if the Steph Currys, the Chris Pauls, the Klay Thompsons, the Draymond Greens are going to, over the course of an 82-game season, have enough left in the fourth night in and night out. I think that's a big reason why they're losing one out of every two games at this point also.
Well, maybe that's a big reason why they've played so many clutch games. I mean, what, they're up to 40 clutch games on the year now, something around there, and they're below 500, I think, by a couple of games in those ones. I think you're probably right. Like, if you had an ideal, matchup or kind of offense you'd want to run when you're down by 7, 8, 9 points with 4 minutes to go, it wouldn't be a 30-foot step-back contested three. It would be, all right, come in and get something to the rim. All right, Andrew, be aggressive, post him up on the post or the short corner, back him down, hit the little, you know, fading 7-footer off the glass. Like, that would be ideal. Now, maybe ideal over everything is Steph hit those fadeaway tough three-pointers, but, you know, it's not always going to happen.
It
especially
can do it. It's just not as consistent as
exactly,
he used to.
Exactly. But for last night in general, or to be a little more specific about last night and maybe try to zoom in from the scope of the season as a whole, I mean, the offense was just abysmal the final three quarters of that game. I mean, they started 5 for 5 from the field. They were 12 for 20 to begin in the first quarter. They closed out the third quarter going 3 for 9. In the second quarter, 11 for 27. In the third, 8 for 26. In the fourth, 9 for 24. Everything they were trying wasn't working. And if you're Stephen Curry in that situation, maybe you feel like, all right, I don't have it tonight. I'm forcing things. I'm trying to rush things. And he admitted to that postgame last night as well. And it was part of the reason why Tyrese Halliburton blocked a couple of his three-pointers.
Oh my God.
Because he was trying a little bit too hard. But if you're Steph Curry, Evan, what else are you going to try to do? I mean, every time Kuminga gets the ball, either Siakam is cutting off his driving lane with his length, 7-foot wingspan, cutting him off, or once he gets to the rim, the Pacers are funneling him to Miles Turner, who blocked 5 shots last night. Like, your easy buckets weren't working. So if you're Steph, you're a 2-time MVP, you're one of the top 10 basketball players of all time, you got to try. Maybe you feel like it's not your best chance, and maybe you don't think it's going to work, but I don't know what the hell else the Warriors were supposed to do last night, because nothing was working.
Well, I can tell you, shooting 14 of 48 from three-point range is not a key to success. I mean, 48 threes, like, they shot it about as well as Memphis did on Wednesday. And Memphis is one of the worst, if not the worst, three-point shooting teams in the league. So, you know, taking a look at the Indiana game, you know, the things that stood out to me were, again, Halliburton. By the way, those two blocks, I forget if the second one was, but the first one was, like, flat-footed. Like, he didn't jump. He just stuck his hand up, and Curry couldn't get a shot over him. So, you know, I think – and that's a – look, that game is a bad game. New York's a bad game. But the issue is not that the Warriors, I think, overall don't have – you know, budding talent and then still an aging core that can sometimes muster it. They just can't. Again, I think they're stuck between, you know, the old and the young, where you look at, to me, you know, the most important player obviously is Steph Curry. And he is still great, but in the last month he has not played consistently enough for the Warriors to play winning basketball. In the month of March, I think he's played 8 of those games. They're 4-4. They need to be 6-2 when Curry's on the floor in those matchups in order to put themselves in a position to challenge for a postseason spot. But the other part of it, too, is if Curry's the most important player, the second most important player that has emerged this year, in my mind, bar none, is Jonathan Kuminga.
Yeah.
There's a 15-year age gap between those two players. And so as we look towards the rest of this season and perhaps a very telling road trip where you got three playoff opponents and even a San Antonio team that took your lunch without Steph, without Wemby. So this is not an easy five-game roadie that's coming up. I think what's going to be telling about this road trip as well as the rest of the season is which way they decide to lean as an organization. Now, Curry still remains the franchise, and he's the reason why they have four championships. He is, you know, the greatest player that the Warriors and perhaps the Bay Area sports scene has ever seen. But the Warriors are going to have to make some very difficult choices. And it's funny, like, I think about Mike Dunleavy Jr. before the trade deadline. It was about, you know, he said, all right, we got about 15 games to evaluate where this Warriors team is at, where they're going. To me, the remainder of the season, you know, the last 13 games of this year are an assessment period. They are in the exact same place, large in part, where they were before the trade deadline, where they got to figure out over the next 15-ish games where their franchise and the direction of their franchise is going to go. And I think a big picture kind of push and pull that I'm dealing with is, do you lean towards Curry, which they have in recent memory, or do they lean more towards Jonathan Kuminga? Or do they try and find some place in the middle? That's probably the most logical spot, but I'm just not sure how they do it.
You're talking about in the last 13 games specifically. How do these 13 games look?
That will dictate to me the direction of this summer.
I just don't know if 13 games is enough to really determine much. I mean, something should have happened a couple of months ago if they were legitimately trying to turn this season into anything. Because this is who the Warriors have been for the vast majority of the year, other than like that, what, five-week stretch from end of January to...
It's not insignificant.
Yeah, it's not. You're right. But, I mean, if you're going to base franchise-changing, future-changing, like, decisions, I feel like I'm not sure Joe Lacob is necessarily confident in the 13 games as the sample size to do it in. Now, there
well,
is a large
13 games in addition to the 62 that you've already
That's what
played.
I'm saying. Maybe the larger sample size isn't necessarily I feel great with the young core. Maybe it's just I don't feel good enough with the veteran group anymore, and I'm going to make a change off of that. That's certainly possible. But if you're saying, all right, Moody, you're starting. Kuminga, you're going to stay starting. You know what, Trace, you're going to start as well. We're taking Wiggins out. We're starting Kuminga and Moody and Pajemski and Trace along with Steph. And if you see Trace play well for 10 of the 13 games, you're like, all right, he's our center of the future. I'm just not sure that that is enough to make franchise-altering decisions off of, but maybe you're just stuck between a rock and a hard place because either option you don't feel great about, and maybe they just go ultimately with what you're talking about, the larger sample of the struggling veterans, and that makes the decision for them this offseason.
Well, obviously the 13 games decide where they go in the play-in postseason. And that, to me, is, I guess, you know, your measuring stick in addition to the 82-game sample size. But really, I mean, the last 13 games, I don't expect wholesale changes. Like, they're going to run out the same starting lineup.
Yeah, why would
they? They're going to run out the same 8-man rotation.
Yeah.
And I think what we saw against Los Angeles on Saturday was an indication of where Kerr, and again, you know, from the sample size perspective, there's never going to be enough sample size for you to say, okay, we got to go this way holy or this way holy. They're probably going to try and find some middle ground, and I do have some thoughts on that as we move along. But to me, where the Warriors are at is kind of a transitionary point. And we've seen that throughout the season, them transition from all the way in on the old to a little bit of the younger. Now the younger guys have pushed some of the older dudes out. I don't know if that means they're pushing them out of the door. But to me, it's still this year, if we look back on it and the Warriors are successful in the near future, this year should be looked at ideally as a transition point, as a transition season from where they were in 2022 as champions to where they hopefully want to go to get back into contention. How are you viewing this season? How are you viewing the final 13 games? How did you view last night? How did you view last week, in which the Warriors went 1-2 at home with a five-game road trip coming up? 888-957-9570. Evan Giddings alongside Mark Grandy here live at Freedman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill. If you got time, stop by this weekend. They got the once-yearly Red Tag clearance sale going on. Live vignettes everywhere. See where things fit in your kitchen. We don't have a washer or dryer, Mark, in our unit, but I think we might be able to pick one up here for a good price. We also got great food. We also got great drinks. You saw me sipping on this earlier. This is root beer, okay? We'll see by 1 o'clock. But that is what we got coming up next here as we move forward live from Freedman's Appliance on 95.7 The Game. We're back after this.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get emotion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
All right, everyone. Evan Giddings, Mark Grandy, live from Freedman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill. We've had some pleasant conversations with the 38 people that are out here working, people that are coming in looking for dryers, looking for refrigerators, looking for an total like kitchen makeover. We got live vignettes.
Grills, barbecues, everything you could possibly think of. I saw some air fryers.
Yes.
Like air fryers.
And we've seen plenty of food as well. We got French toast here that I might dig into in a little bit.
French toast casserole. It is. Absolutely incredible. It's kind of like bread pudding, but with maple syrup and obviously French toast. It is incredible.
A lot of sugar.
And it's set up right next to our setup here at
Thank
Freedman's.
God.
Oh, we got people bringing over more.
Thank you, Ola.
Oh, chocolate chip cookies.
Fresh out of the oven.
Oh, man.
My Lord. And shout out to our guys at, I think they're selling Lynx Professional Grills here at Freedman's Appliance. They got some of these, like, these steak tacos that are breaded but cooked with cheese on the outside. Not quite a birria, but really, really good.
Delicious.
Justin's tried about everything in here under the sun, I believe, at this point.
Yeah, he told me we've been here for a little more than an hour, and he's already full. We still got three more hours here just about.
Yeah, so. we got 2.5 left up until 3 o'clock, but the Red Tag clearance sale, which is once yearly here at Freeman's Appliance, also celebrating 100 years, by the way, is throughout the entire weekend. So get out here, whether it's later on today, whether it's tomorrow. People are coming through, having a good time, enjoying the vibes here. Unlike, unfortunately, the Golden State Warriors coming off a loss last night, 123-111 against the Indiana Pacers. We're talking about it and taking your calls, of course. 888-957-9570 is the number. That's also the number for the Comcast Business Text Line. Shout out to everyone on our YouTube and Twitch chat powered by First NorCal Credit Union. And kind of where we left off, Mark, which is the idea of, you know, grappling between, I think, the past and the future. And I thought a lot of that was in kind of on display last night with really the Pacers and the direction that their franchise chose to go by acquiring someone that was in the same draft class as James Wiseman. And even coming up on Sunday, you got a Minnesota team and Anthony Edwards that was the first pick in that draft. It's interesting how everything that has transpired now with Golden State either goes back to the championship in 2022 or, to me, the draft class 2020 with Mr. James Wiseman. And to me, one of the reasons that I feel like we either talk about the past or the future in regards to where the Warriors are at right now, which is 3 games above 500 in the 10 seed, 2 games behind or in front of Houston, and then a game and a half out of ninth place in the Los Angeles Lakers, it's kind of because the present right now seems to be bleak. It seems to be stuck. It seems to be something that we can't really figure out on a day-to-day basis. And when, I don't know about you, but when I watch the Warriors, I don't really know what to expect. And where you felt like they were beginning to turn the corner a bit in February, they gave us what we asked for, which was 30 days of great basketball. It all kind of felt like it came at a cost, which is either guys that are aging and their bodies wearing down towards the end of the season, or players that are rookies hitting a wall, or maybe some of the third-year players also experiencing some natural inconsistency. Either way, they haven't been able to put the equation together on a weekly basis since the end of February, and now we're at the point where they're just trying to get into the play-in tournament and maybe make a run, or maybe just get into a first-round series, really.
Yeah, they're kind of in this awkward middle ground, and they've been in it now for over a year. I mean, this is also somewhat what last year was like, although this year is, I think, more specifically about on-court struggles, while last year was a lot more drama off the court, and we don't need to relitigate all of that stuff. We know what we're talking about. It happened preseason, and the player it happened to is no longer on this roster. So that was the overarching issue from last year. This year, it's more just about your core guys maybe can't quite do it the way they used to, and are your young guys ready just yet? And it depends what you're asking them to be ready for. Are they ready to contribute and be a positive influence on most games? Yes. But are they ready to be the driving force behind you winning games, going to the playoffs, and maybe win a postseason series? Not yet. Doesn't mean they can't get there. But if you are a Warrior fan trying to sort through what this season means and where the franchise goes from here, it's frustrating. And that feeling is only amplified when you are playing against a team like the Pacers. Because as you talked about, they did not draft Tyrese Haliburton. They went and acquired him. They gave up a young piece, a young promising piece, Domantas Sabonis, who's currently having a double-double every single game and every so often a triple-double. He should have been an all-star. He's incredible. He's been awesome this year. You could argue both teams won that trade. The Pacers got one of the best promising young point guards in the NBA, consistently scoring 30, dishing out 10 assists, rarely turning the ball over, hit incredible rainbow threes at the buzzer of the second quarter and the third quarter last night. They acquired him for a young piece. That's something that Warrior fans were hoping they could have done at some point. Maybe they do it this offseason. They move off of a young piece, they pair a couple together, and they get another young quality player back in return. Who knows? But that feeling of frustration, not knowing where exactly this Warriors franchise is or what is the best course of action moving forward, it's kind of amplified by the Pacers because you have Tyrese Halliburton, who you could have picked, as you mentioned, the James Wiseman draft. You picked second overall. You could have had Halliburton if you wanted him. You could have picked him at two. You could have traded back, gotten another draft pick, got another piece, and then drafted Tyrese Halliburton. And I know this is what-if radio, and hindsight is 20/20 and all that. I get it. But it doesn't stop there for the Pacers. As we talked about in the first segment, Evan, Pascal Siakam was a major trade target. Everybody knew he was going to get traded at this most recent trade deadline. Were the Warriors willing to part with Jonathan Kuminga? No, so they didn't get him. But could you imagine if the Warriors had Steph Curry and Tyrese Halliburton and Pascal Siakam and the other guy, maybe the other piece that the Warriors have been missing recently is a seven-footer. Miles Turner has been mentioned in trades often, and I know this is getting deep into the what if, but when I watch the Warriors versus the Pacers, you see a Warriors team who is kind of grappling with their the fact that they aren't going to be around forever. They're trying to figure out where to go next, and you have the Pacers team who has a number of the guys who you potentially could have gotten your hands on, and they seem to have their future set up. And I know it's entirely different situations because the Pacers have been bottom feeders recently. The Warriors have been on the top of the top. Very few teams have ever reached the highs they have reached. But it is almost like a what-if game, Warriors versus Pacers, because you have a number of players who the Warriors have been mentioned with, mentioned as potential suitors for, and it never quite panned out. The Pacers got it done. The Warriors, meanwhile, still kind of living in this limbo area at this stage.
Well, and again, I think they're in limbo because their two most promising players are ages 36 and 21, being Stephen Curry and Jonathan Kuminga. And I don't believe that Kuminga is yet ready to all of a sudden be thrust into a number one role and be the face of a franchise and lead it on. Heck, like you were talking about Sabonis and the mutually beneficial decision that it was to trade him for Halliburton. Sabonis was in his sixth season. He had already been an all-star two times. That was an established player that the Pacers felt like was not going to be a part of their long-term future, but they knew what he was. He had already not necessarily hit his ceiling yet. He's playing better in Sacramento, but he was more of a finished product than what the Warriors have right now, where they either have products that look like they might be finished soon or they don't have finished products. So right now they're stuck between that push and pull of the young and old. And I think to me what I've learned a lot about this team this season and ideally the direction of the franchise is they at least appear to be okay with either relegating or potentially moving on from some of those older pieces. Kevon Looney's completely out of the rotation. He's got a partially guaranteed deal for next season. Chris Paul does not have any guaranteed money on the books next season. He could be gone. Klay Thompson's going to be a free agent. I think there's a place that they can find to bring him back, but what his role is going to be is probably off the bench and as a sixth man. Curry is still very, very good, but is he someone that you believe can be the number one for a title team in a Western Conference that is absolutely loaded with players either in their prime or entering their prime? And then, of course, Draymond Green, who's tied to this franchise for three more seasons, and is he going to be able to play at the same defensive level that he did in the month of February for a full six-month season and then some if you're trying to contend for a title? These are all questions that the Warriors have to ask of their elder statesmen, and to me, I feel like I've learned this season that they're not as willing to just make kind of acquiesce or at the whim of them, you know, just bend the knee to those players as they were even last season or at the beginning of this season. And that's why the young core, you know, if you want to throw Moody in there, I guess, I mean, to me, the three guys that you're looking at right now would be Trayce Jackson-Davis, Brandon Pajemski, and Jonathan Kuminga, because at least they've shown that they can consistently get minutes and crack the rotation. I think there's a place for Moody, but he's off to the side now. Do you want to kind of lean in on Curry himself, or do you feel like there's a place where you tie and kind of hitch your wagon to the younger three players on this team? I think there's a lot of fans out there that don't believe that those three are ready yet, and I'm kind of with them, but I also don't really think that where Curry is headed at age 37 next year, 38 beyond that, that the Warriors have to just, I don't know, like completely wholly buy into whatever is left at the end of his prime, entering the latter stages of his career, because there's going to be more nights like last night against Indiana to me where Curry is going to be a little gassed, is going to be asked to do too much, and I just don't know if there are options out there this summer to make sure that what he has to do workload-wise is as much as he's done this season. So they're really in a I don't know, a rock and a hard place.
Yeah, I mean, you're not moving on from Steph, but you're not going to trot out the same group. So what does that mean? Steph's still here, and Steph and Draymond are still here, because I don't think you're going to move on from Draymond either, at least not this offseason. He's been playing really well when he's been available, and we know some of the issues that he's had. I think he's been, honestly, better than I expected he was going to perform on the court this season. So I think Steph's going to be here. I think Draymond's going to be here. I think everything else is on the table for the Warriors this offseason, and this is assuming that nothing crazy happens in terms of them making a plan and getting through the plan and winning a round, maybe winning two. Like, if that happens, okay, maybe you change things. But even if you get to a playoff series and say you lose to the Nuggets in five games, that's not enough to change my mind. I think everything else is on the table, and then you got to deal with, okay, what are our young guys worth? And you might be right. Jonathan Kuminga and Brandon Pajemski and Trayce Jackson-Davis, maybe they're not good enough to be the 2, 3, and 4 or 2, 4, and 5. You slide someone else in, whatever the case is. Maybe they're not good enough to be the supporting pieces directly behind Steph as he enters 36, 37, 38 towards the tail end of his contract. Okay. So you see what they're worth on the open market, and you try to get somebody in return for one of them, for two of them, for a combination of them and Andrew Wiggins, or whatever the situation is. But is that going to fetch you something that is better than the sum of those parts in return? I don't know. To me, it feels like the Warriors are stuck in a place where they're going to have to be willing to ride their youth forward with Stephen Curry for the time being. And while that is kind of, you got your hands in two different buckets, I don't really know what other option the Warriors have, because you're not moving on from Steph, you're not running it back, and I'm not so sure that Kuminga and Trayce Jackson-Davis and Wiggins, for example, are enough to get you a legitimate star to pair alongside Steph, maybe someone that takes the mantle for Steph when he does eventually retire, or if he, you know, turns into a number two the final year of his career, whatever the situation is. I'm not sure that move is even out there. So I think the Warriors are deciding between a couple of not great options, and the one that is maybe best of the two, the least bad option, might just be, all right, we're going to hope Kuminga evolves into a star that can be a torchbearer for the organization moving forward. And if not, well, we'll cross that bridge when we get there, but he's our best chance at trying to get out of the Steph era in a good way.
Well, I can tell you what, the best chance for you to improve your home is to get down to Freedman's Appliance right now, this weekend, once yearly red tag clearance sale. They got amazing deals. Shout out to our guy, Randy, who works at KCBS, had a kind of a funny joke. Yes, we are doing this show, if you're watching on YouTube and Twitch, right next to a washer. And Randy's joke was, of course, we're doing it inappropriately because the Warriors are washed. Those words were not mine. They did not come out of my mouth. That was from our guy, Randy, at KCBS. I'll give you a 4 for that, Rand, if you're listening out there, whether it's on the Odyssey app, whether you're watching on YouTube and Twitch, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. If you want to call into the show, we are taking calls at 888-957-9570. That's also the number for the Comcast Business text line. We are part of the live vignettes here at Freedman's Appliance. We'll be here until 3 o'clock and probably a little bit after, because I got some things I need to check out. Not necessarily for our home, but for my stomach and potentially for my liver. There are some things I need to check out, and I am looking forward to doing so.
But if you do call, I will say we might be distracted because it smells incredible in here.
It does. It smells incredible outside. The light has begun to show, and I can see blue now.
And so the rain has stopped.
Get out here. Say what's up to the people. They got 38 different working members here at Freedman's Appliance that can help you with whatever deal you need for your home. You can kind of check it out and see how it would fit, how it would work in your particular house. And, of course, you can pick up some great grub in the meantime. So, again, all of which this weekend at Freedman's Appliance. Evan Giddings and Mark Grandy with you here on 95.7 The Game. You said something interesting, though, about looking ahead and the two players that are for sure going to be here next year. You sure Draymond's in that group?
I think so.
I think you're probably right, but as far as, like, if we're talking about untouchables, I kind of think the only player that's on that list is the same dude who was on the list when Shams Charania said it before the trade deadline, and that's Steph Curry. And that means Kuminga might also be dangled this summer. One reason being, I'm not sure if the Warriors are going to feel comfortable in the immediate paying him whatever the market value is for his rookie extension, which he is eligible for, or his first big contract, which he's eligible for this offseason. If you could use Draymond Green to get younger, to get better, I think that's something that they would look at. To me, I think you're right that everything's on the table, but the only guy that's off the table in my mind is 30.
What is Draymond getting you to move off? Like, what are you getting in return for Draymond Green if you decide,
you're getting younger.
So you're just getting rid of him to get rid of him, not trying to get really anything back in return. Because, I mean, what is he going to return? He's, what, 33, 34 years old. He's still got 3 years left on his contract. And I think the general consensus has been he's worth more to the Warriors than to any other team. If you're getting rid of him, I don't see you getting any sort of meaningful piece back unless you include Kuminga in that. And maybe that's what you do. Maybe you attach someone who is playing decent basketball but by himself isn't going to get you a ton. He's not going to fetch you much in return. I get what you're saying. I would just fire back, like, Draymond's been a plus when he's been on the court this year, and I'm not so sure what you're going to get back for him. So in my mind, you might as well just stick with him because he's playing well for you, and is he going to get you anything in return? I don't really think so.
Well, if you can't, but that's the point, though. If there is a team that feels like they're a Draymond Green away from being a title contender, like one of the young and up-and-coming teams, or maybe Minnesota, who's trying to move off of Karl-Anthony Towns and don't want to pay him $50 million this summer. Maybe the Clippers want to add Draymond Green. Maybe the Lakers would like to acquire Draymond. I'm saying I think there are teams out there that could look at their situation this summer and say, we're a defensive bulldog away from jumping this team or that team in a postseason series. And that might be a reason why the Warriors take calls on him. I still think he's on the team next year because I also feel like, yes, you're right, when he's on the court, he's good, but for how many games? And that's because of either his own actions and the antics, or because I think he's been a little inconsistent. The lower back issue is something that he dealt with in the championship season, only played 55-ish games. He played 70-plus games last year in a contract year. This year he's going to be at around 55 again. Can you really expect him to play more than that consistently for the remainder of his contract, which is three more seasons? And I also think in general, like honing in on Draymond, I mean, yes, you can get this, maybe not, but the question is, are the Warriors going to be willing to bite the bullet on a couple of these players? Because, for example, I think the Warriors need to start this offseason by looking at Andrew Wiggins and what his future is going to be. He's also got three more years, and he might be the easiest person to move just because I'm not sure that it's going to take anything more than salary. I don't know if you're going to get anything back, but you might just have to make that move to make that move because otherwise you're going to be in the same position. The one thing that I think we've learned this season about the Warriors is that for a second consecutive year, they are mired large in part in mediocrity. And it's because of age, it's because of inexperience, it's because of suspensions, it's because of all these different reasons. But this year more than last year, to me, Mark, has to do with basketball. And what I wanted to learn this season was how the Warriors measured up against the Western Conference in basketball settings. And what we found for the majority of the season is they're not good enough.
Yeah, and if you're trying to, like, okay, first of all, Joe Lacob is the most maniacal winner that the Warriors franchise has ever seen, and he's stated time and time again he never wants to be in the lottery. Never, ever, ever. Well, Joe, unfortunately, it looks like you're destined to be in the lottery this year. The downside is you're not going to have your pick because it's going to the Portland Trailblazers. So you get the downside of not being in the playoffs, and you get the downside of not even having the pick. So that, first of all, that's unfortunate for the Warriors. But if you think that Joe Lacob is going to stand still if this team misses the postseason, and by the way, losing in the play-in qualifies as missing the postseason, and that seems to be the most likely outcome, although it is still up in the air. We don't know exactly how it's going to play out. Excuse me. Let's assume that is how it happens.
Even if they do, you think he's going to be happy with a first-round exit?
No. Like, but we just – probably not. No, I'm with you. But let's just say they missed the postseason, and he has stated publicly time and time again, we never want to be a team in the lottery, and that's where the Warriors are headed. Okay, he's not going to stand by and not change anything. If we are to try to figure out who is most likely to go out the door, for me, it's Steph not happening at all, and Draymond is the next least likely to be moved. But you're right, it is possible. But
less likely than Kuminga?
Draymond is less likely to be moved than Kuminga. Yes, Kuminga is more likely to be moved than Draymond Green, in my opinion.
I would fight you on that.
Because
yeah,
I think Kuminga is your piece that gets you the most in return. If you're trying to legitimately try to win next year, maybe you think, okay, J.K., Trayce Jackson-Davis, let's go get ourselves a current star. Maybe he's 31 years old, and maybe you are putting a major bargaining chip for the future on the table to try to win one more with Steph. If that's the direction that you go, Kuminga gets you the most in return. I don't think that's the way I would go. I would keep Kuminga and you know, pray to whoever, whatever God you believe in, that he's going to turn into a star and he's going to lead you to success post-Stephen Curry. But if you are legitimately trying to win another championship with Steph Curry, it means Draymond Green is still here and you got to try to get another piece elsewhere. And who gets you the most in return right now? It's Jonathan Kuminga. So in my mind, Kuminga far more likely to be moved than Draymond Green, although ultimately I think those two alongside Steph are both back. The changes happen elsewhere beyond those three.
See, I wholeheartedly disagree, and the reason is because if you are trying to remain out of the lottery, you can't just think about three seasons. You can't just think about what is left of Steph. You have to think about beyond that. And the reason why they're in this situation right now is because they tried to look too far, you know, like, I mean, I would say a little bit, they had to look at, okay, not, they tried to thread a needle, right? They tried to get cute, I think, with a couple of high upside players, and then they weren't willing to give them enough time. So if you are going to have Kuminga on your roster, or if you are going to try and compete beyond Curry, I don't know who else on this team is going to be projectable to do that outside of Kuminga. Meanwhile, Draymond Green, I think that his importance to this team is secondary right now just because the lack of experience from someone like JK. But I would, if the Warriors trade Jonathan Kuminga to upgrade, I think it would be, one, not enough to get them back into championship contention. Number two, it would be idiotic. If they trade Jonathan Kuminga this summer, that is a terrible decision because you're not going to get a Giannis. You're not going to get an Embiid. You're not going to get a game-changing player that would come in and maybe even move Curry back to a secondary option. You're probably going to get someone like Pascal Siakam, which to me does not put the Warriors back into title contention. So from that perspective, I'm looking at the hierarchy of players that I would move, or not move, I should say. Curry's number one, because you can't do that to him in any shape or form unless he asks for it. Number two, it's Kuminga, because right now my entire future as a franchise is hitched to that one guy and his potential to be a superstar.
I'm with you. I'm not trading Kuminga either. I just think it's more likely he gets moved than Draymond because he fetches you the most on the open market. Not that it's something that I would do or really even consider that much unless you have a home run, no doubt about it. This is a great player who still has like 7 good years left in his career. Then maybe you think about it, but that opportunity probably is not there. I think Steph, Draymond, Kuminga are all Warriors moving forward. Literally everybody else, though, that's a question going forward.
Well, I see you, Clarence, and Brentwood on the other side. We'll get to your call. 888-957-9570 is the number. Evan Ginnings and Mark Grandy live here from Friedman's Appliance on 95.7 The Game. Stop by and say what's up. I saw you, Ernie Chavez, in the YouTube chat powered by First NorCal Credit Union. When you stop by, when work is done delaying you, get to us with haste. We got to get you in here, get you set up with one of our 38 very handy helpers at Friedman's Appliance, whether it's our guy Poet, whether it's our guy Aura. Everyone is ready to help you get your kitchen, your living room, anything you need here, Friedman's Appliance, set for your home. And when we come back, we got 2 hours left. I do want to dig into that more, this idea of where the Warriors want to lean into more, how they thread the needle, and how they figure out the rest of the season as they stand 3 games above 500 as the 10 seed, looking up at the Lakers and looking behind at a creeping Houston Rockets team. Evan Giddings and Mark Granny back after this on 95.7 The Game.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get motion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved? home protected, bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
A message from a former New Yorker presented by Street Easy.
What we all miss the most is the food.
The Chinese food.
Any decent Chinese food or pizza.
New York City pizza.
I'm not driving 35 minutes for a decent slice of pizza, okay?
There's no pizza. There's no bagels.
Bagels.
Man, I miss some bacon, egg, and cheeses, man.
I have 3 Thai places on my block.
Get the local expertise you need to never become a former New Yorker. Go to StreetEasy.com to get started. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Incorporated, which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.